This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Empire has been repulsed, but this one defeat will increase its determination to crush the rebellion once and for all. In the continuation of the Star Wars saga, the Empire strikes back, and Luke, Han, and Princess Leia must confront its awesome might. In the course of the Odyssey, they travel with their faithful friends, droids and Wookiees, to exotic worlds where they meet new alien creatures and evil machines. Culminating in an awesome confrontation between Luke Skywalker and the master of the dark side of the Force, Darth Vader. Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo, C-3PO, R2-D2, Chewbacca, and introducing Lando Calrissian. Continuation of the Star Wars saga, The Empire Strikes Back.
Hi, hello, I'm Nicole Byer.
I'm Lauren Lapkus, and you're listening to Newcomers.
We're watching Star Wars.
We've never seen it. We never wanted to see it.
No.
We still don't want to see it.
A fun tweet brought this together. We should learn that person's name and write them a letter and say we hate you.
Thanks for ruining our lives.
So we watched A New Hope the other day. Today, the Emperor Struck Back.
Yes. This movie, I liked it more than A New Hope.
I also liked it more. It was easier to follow.
It had more fun elements, like,
yes.
And a lot more like cute stuff. Like mm-hmm. It was more like labyrinthy looking
yes.
points. I thought it was only a couple years later. It was like 1980, so it's like 3 years.
Yeah,
later.
It was released May 17th, 1980. Irvin Kershaw directed it.
That's also part of it. Different director and different writers.
Yes, George Lucas did co-produce it, and I believe a woman was credited as writing this.
I thought that too,
yeah. I think I saw.
It went by really fast, and I didn't go back to check
me
it out.
Me either. I said, not important to me. Someone at
no,
the studio will know.
No, but I was happy about that. And I found it to be much, much more visually pleasing.
Yes.
And I liked the changes that I noticed in, like, just even, like, mm-hmm. C-3PO had a sort of different sheen to him.
He also lost his midsection. We should introduce our guest.
I know, he only had wires. Did he have that before? Okay, our guest today is one of our favorite people. Mm-hmm. John Gabris joins us in the studio.
Hey, what's up, dorks?
So did he have wires in the middle?
Yeah, he didn't have wires in the middle of the first
one. Wait, we better introduce our guest. We have this pressing question about C-3PO's stomach wires from the first
his
movie.
His midriff wasn't out. His guts weren't out.
No.
I think that was new.
Yeah.
I think he got a little polished up and maybe lost a stomach piece.
I liked his new look. It showed his flexibility when he bent over and stuff.
mm-hmm.
I was also really pleased because Yoda was introduced, and we thought Yoda was going to be in the first movie. And we Yoda kind of was were waiting not in for the first him.
One. Well, that's what I was wondering. When you're watching this movie and you see Luke say, "I have to go to the Dagobah system to meet a Jedi Master," do you even know that that's Yoda at that point?
No, I did not know that was Yoda. But then Yoda appeared on the screen. I went, "That's my dude, Yoda!"
Right.
And then Milheiser, my roommate, was like, "Pretend you don't know that's Yoda." He's like, "Just go on the journey of the movie."
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I was thrilled when Yoda came, and then when he was on his back. When he was on Luke's back, I was like, oh, this is why they have those backpacks at Disneyland with Yoda where it's like a backpack.
Oh, shit starts making sense.
Now I kind of want one.
Yeah, did this open up your eyes?
I kind of want one. Now I get
mission accomplished.
I want it.
Imagine if I walked around with a Yoda backpack just day to day. It could happen so soon after watching these. I don't know. I don't know which way I could
and
go.
And that's consumerism, baby.
I'm so easily susceptible.
Probably for the best that it's after you've at least seen the movie. Yeah, once. Yeah. You don't want to be the guy like, I like Star Wars.
I like this little green backpack guy.
I love Yoda. Yoda was so cool and cute. Although I didn't really understand why carrying him was part of the training. He weighs nothing.
That was weird.
It was just to not have a puppeteer running alongside.
There you go.
Would be my guess. It's like probably the simplest way to. Here's something I wanted to ask you guys.
Yes.
You said this one's more kid-like, more like a little more childlike, a little more labyrinth-like.
Mm-hmm.
This is classically the best of Star Wars heads.
This is the best
it's going to get?
I know. Earlier outside, you guys were saying, like, I did not enjoy it. And I was like, guys, I got bad news. This is my personal favorite is the third one, Return of the Jedi,
okay,
which you guys will
one.
Be doing on the next episode. That's the most childlike because that features both Yoda and Ewoks.
Yes.
That's the one that I think bears. I saw when I was a little kid.
And it opens at Jabba's palace with like an awesome rescue.
A palace. Yeah. Come on now.
It's going to be misleading to call it a palace. When you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I have to say, though, when it started, I'm going to pull up my notes because I did take some notes. When Luke came in on the croissant horse,
yes,
which I see is called a tauntaun.
Tauntaun, yes.
Oh, a tauntaun?
Yeah.
I was
really
thing?
Excited. I loved the way those things looked. The wampa that was like eating his face and stuff. I thought that was really cool and reminded me of those Rudolph movies, kind of stop motion.
Oh, yeah, like the
Abominable Snowman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Let's talk about this for a second. For me, watching this is so rich because I love the practical effects. I appreciate puppetry and animatronics over CGI.
We didn't get to see that. We get to see CGI.
We watched the remastered.
We can't watch the original one.
But this one was not fully remastered.
Right, it's not fully.
Some of it was. Like some of those dinosaurs.
Yoda was practical.
Yeah. And then also these guys, the Wampa and the Tauntaun.
They added a couple of things that aren't in. Yeah.
They kind of were moving, I thought, old style.
Yeah, when Han runs into the base on the Tauntaun, and
that was weird.
That's added.
Yeah,
that's
moving so fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
While I liked these tom-toms and wampas, why did we have to see them?
They were very weird, and the terrain is suddenly very
It's very
icy.
Snowy and
the
icy.
The terrain is suddenly
we
very
go
icy.
From
They're
sand.
On a whole new planet called Hoth.
Okay,
the ice planet.
That's honestly important.
Hoth, H-O-T-H.
Okay, but like, why did we have to watch 20 minutes of, who cares?
It was interesting that they spent so long with those creatures kind of.
And then
but,
we don't
oh, but
see
here's
them again.
An interesting thing that I looked up.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought Mark Hamill looked really different in this movie.
He got into a car accident. And the reason why he gets hit is so they could use his stitches.
Yeah. So he had like scars on his face, basically. And so they had. But then there was one thing I read that said George Lucas kind of denied that the Wampa eating was him or whatever was not really for that, and it was already going to be in there, but it kind of worked with it. But Carrie Fisher said in an interview that it was for that. So there's like mixed sort of.
But there's also like Luke becomes sort of a badass too. So like
he does.
I thought he got hotter. I thought he actually looked
exactly.
Cool.
It adds a layer to him. Yeah. Isn't he the most annoying? Because I just showed all these movies to Tiffany like only a couple years ago for the first time. She had never seen any of them.
That's very kind of you.
Yeah.
You've been together for a very long time.
Yeah, you let her
well,
get away
I never
with
force
that.
It on her until the new one was going to come out. I'm like, do you want to go see episode nine, whatever, episode seven together? And she was like, yeah. I'm like, do you want to? And so we're watching the first one. She's like, this is Luke Skywalker. This is who the hero. I'm like, he's so annoying.
He
he's
a
child.
Pussy.
And you're like, yeah, he's a total pussy. The movie is the piece is a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see, watch it as a trilogy, you're like, holy shit. But if you watch just New Hope, mm-hmm. you don't end that movie feeling satisfied in any way. Right.
Right. And he's not enough like in that, because he is like such a little child mm-hmm. in that first one. And, but he's cooler in this one for sure.
Oh, he's definitely cooler in the facial scar. And then
when he fucking made out with Princess Leia in the hospital bed.
Mm-hmm.
And Gamberling did tell us that they're twins. So we kind of know that. But we didn't. Really, we knew someone was sibling.
The storyline. Yeah, the storyline doesn't.
And that is sick and horny. And do you think that
I would say Luke's face after the kiss? Mm-hmm. Mark Hamill is doing amazing acting there, because he has this sort of like, that was a surprise, but also looks to Han like, I got it, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, he's playing a very cool, a very hard to display emotion in that.
But
moment.
Now, do you
all
think
the
actors are great in this?
Yeah, everyone's great.
Oh, I mean, it's made up of like the best at the time, which
they're
is
great.
And now the second one using Larry Kasdan and Jared Kushner or whatever, Irvin Kushner, using those guys instead of Lucas just makes it that much stronger. Mm-hmm.
Can I read you this bad review from the New York Times about this
Please.
Movie? Okay, so this kind of also talks us through the plot a little bit. This much about The Empire Strikes Back I do understand. When the movie begins, Han Solo and Princess Leia and their gang are hanging out in a cold, snowy planet where soldiers ride patrols on animals that look like ostrich kangaroos, where there are white-furred animals that are not polar bears, and where Luke Skywalker almost freezes to death. Under the command of Darth Vader, the forces of the Empire attack, employing planes, missiles, and some awfully inefficient tanks that have the shape of armor-plated camels. Somehow Han Solo and Princess Leia escape. At that point, Luke Skywalker flies off to find Yoda, a guru who will teach him more about the Force. Yoda being the successor to Ben Kenobi, the Star Wars guru, I didn't get that, who was immolated in that movie, but whose shade turns up from time to time in the new movie for what looks to have been about 3 weeks of work.
Ouch. Obi-Wan is Ben that they're referring to. Obi-Wan is the old Alec Guinness from the
Why
first movie.
Why does Obi-Wan have two names?
Why is he Ben?
And one is Ben?
Because his name is Obi-Wan is like his Jedi name, and then they call him Old Ben because that's what he's become, like Ben like Kenobi,
like a has-been?
Well, Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader, you know what I mean? Like, they have, like, their Jedi name, which is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And
but
then,
now that when he lives on Tatooine overwatching Luke, he's they call him Old Ben or Uncle Ben, you know, Old Ben, not Uncle Ben.
Uncle
Ben,
okay. That's Uncle someone else. The right.
It's Uncle Owen. Uncle Owen!
I found myself glancing at my watch. It was nice and inoffensive. It's silly. It has no beginning or end. Mm. It's a lot of hot air. But he also talks about Yoda being a small, delightful Muppet-like troll creature created and operated by Frank Oz of The Muppet Show. And that was my favorite part. Okay, so that was just something that was said in 1980 about the film.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love a review from before 99 or before 2000 when it's like, I could not stop looking at my watch.
Yeah.
I know. It's like nowadays it'd be like, I was on Instagram for the whole movie.
Scrolling.
Watching this, I just could not picture Lapkus watching this without her phone in her hand.
It was
sorry.
My phone was in full effect. I had multiple screens happening.
It
was
took
impossible.
Me longer to watch because I would get on my phone and be like, I love this. And then be like, wait, what's happening?
I know.
And then I have to pause it, rewind. Oh, it was.
Did Millhiser watch it with you?
Yes. And he was so annoyed with me.
Oh, because Mike was watching with me, but he was noticing me zone out and he'd go, okay, that guy's that guy and this guy's doing that. I was like, thank you. I missed that part. But I am here. And mm-hmm. I was trying to pay as much attention as I could. Like, I did everything in my power with my phone to pay attention. Yesterday we did it. We watched it as a watch along, and I think that was possibly the hardest thing I've ever done because we were so focused and recording while we were watching that we couldn't be distracted.
No,
and I think that made us
one
both
of us
very sleepy.
So sleepy.
It took all your energy to watch a movie. Listen to you guys.
This is the hardest thing I've had to do in my life, and both my parents are dead. Let me tell you, it was tough.
When I was watching last night, because, we did have a panic attack yesterday, I think individually, I can speak for myself, but after watching the first one, I was like, we've made a terrible mistake.
How many are you supposed to watch for
all
this?
All
of them.
Wait, including the prequels and shit?
You're
saying all of them.
Yeah,
and
all
there's
of them.
There's,
prequels,
there's
yes.
like nine or ten
I,
now.
Yes,
yeah.
All of them except for Rogue One and then the
Solo.
Yes.
But who knows? We might do those as we have knows. 20 episodes that we're doing.
Yeah.
So it could go. We're going to be covering a lot of Star Wars stuff.
A lot.
Fan fiction, games, all sorts of things.
Well, have me back for the Star Wars customizable card game because that took up maybe 3 years of my adolescence.
There's a customizable card
There's
game?
Like a Magic the Gathering of Star Wars cards. It's super complicated and I played it religiously.
Do you still know how to play?
I probably could get going in like 5 or 10 minutes.
So do you love all of these movies? Like, we didn't really talk about this in Raised by TV, I don't think. Yeah. We didn't get into Star Wars at all.
Every time I brought it up, you would go to the producer, cut it. Cut the mic. And I was like, oh, all right.
Cut it.
Star Wars was a huge part of my childhood, like most adolescent boys, but me and my, it used to be nerdy before it was a Disney movie. It used to be like, for me to have watched these movies that were made in the 70s and early 80s, I'm born in 82. So I didn't see any of them like live or, you know, just eventually someone showed me A New Hope on Star Wars. And for a kid who's like into, it's just the coolest shit. It's got like, Jedis are sort of like samurais and ninjas. So you got swords, then you got spaceships, then you got guns, then you have weird robots, then you have bounty hunters, then you have aliens. Like, it's just, and then you have Princess Leia, who's an absolute smoke show.
She's beautiful.
Beautiful. And a badass.
Exactly. Yeah. And in Empire, she's doing very cool shit.
Oh, but I love her new hairstyle.
I love when she has the like goggles on and she's just repairing something on the Falcon. Yes. I'm like, this movie is like, we think we know what you like about Princess Leia. Let me show you her in a gown. Let me show you her as General Leia. Yeah. Let me show you her doing maintenance. Let me show you kiss both male characters in the movie.
Yeah. She's the meme. Get you a girl who can do both.
Yeah. Yes.
She's doing it all.
She's such a, and for like a young kid, she was just so fucking hot to me. And then everything was like, Han Solo was badass, but you wanted to be Luke because you wanted to have a lightsaber. And then, like, part of it was how cute all the little puppets were. But we wouldn't cop to that when we were kids. So Star Wars became a thing that you became a fan of. And then you read the books, which were the EU, the Extended Universe. Then you played the card game.
I didn't know there was books.
Yeah, and they've been since wiped from canon, meaning, like, all these Extended Universe books that came out in like, the 20 years following Star Wars kind of expanded on the world. There was a video game called Shadows of the Empire, which expanded on the world. And then they wiped all of that first for episode 7 to be like, we're not including all, because so much stuff was created outside of it. Like Luke and like there's kid, like Han and Leia have kids and they have Jedis and like Chewbacca has a family and shit.
Chewbacca has a family?
Yeah, he's got
a family. Is there a lady Chewbacca?
Oh, yeah. There's a Lobaca, I believe. Is
Lobaca!
There
Lobaca? Yeah. That's cute. That's my nickname.
Lobaca!
Did you feel like Chewie was like really stressful again in this film?
I feel like he is so constantly emotional. In a midlife crisis slash anxiety attack slash panic attack.
Well, this movie, his fucking best friend, his teammate, is getting frozen in carbonite. That was crazy. Isn't that like weird? Here's the thing. Well, I saw this movie as a kid and even rewatching it now, it's like the context and what's happening is like, an evil Jedi is freezing a dude to send him to a gambler because he owes debt. And and all this weird context of like, what the fuck is happening here? Yet the emotional core is there where it's so sad to see a Wookiee be sad. Yeah. There's so much non-human, non-real garbage going on.
It is a good lesson on like credit card debt because you are in your own prison when they keep calling you.
Yeah, that's like Capital One is froze Nicole Byer.
They keep calling and I can't move. Oh my God. I gotta say, I did enjoy the lightsaber fight between Darth Vader and Luke.
Me too.
So
also,
awesome.
They really got a budget because that helmet is shiny.
And the lightsaber looks a lot better.
Yeah, it did
like,
look
everything
better.
Was kind of upgraded.
Yes.
I feel like if the first movie was a big hit, then they got way more money for the next one.
But
like they built like, George Lucas owned ILM, built ILM around these movies, Industrial Lights and Magic, who are like famous special effects people.
Oh, okay.
So he built like, as these movies grew, he grew, gained power in like the ability to do shit. Like,
to be like, I'm just going to have
he's like, there's a Skywalker sound. Like, he's got like all this, Lucas now owns like all these post-production facilities.
Oh,
and
wow.
Like Star Wars was just being made on this campus somewhere. Yeah.
But when Luke loses his hand, honestly, he didn't react enough.
He had no reaction.
He truly was like, well, that's a hand that I had.
Well, he got some other news that maybe overshadows his hand
thing.
Okay,
so can we talk about that? I was kind of surprised they got to it that quickly. That
you mean hour 2.5 of this movie?
Just that.
No, I thought it was going to be in the next movie.
Me too, because they said it in the first one and it felt like it wouldn't pay off that quickly.
Yeah.
But I always thought he said, Luke, I am your father.
That's like a Mandela effect. Everyone believes that's the line.
Uh-huh. Wait, what was the line?
It's, I am your father. He doesn't, I am your father. He doesn't say,
Luke, I am your father.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He never says
Luke. Why do people
Luke?
Say that?
Because it was in Toy Story?
Oh.
I think it was one of those things, and possibly maybe like a Vader toy or something like that said it.
And maybe it like cuts to the chase when you're telling it. Like, it's, mm-hmm. he's talking to Luke, he's his father.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you hear, did you talk about on New Hope, like, what the merch for this, for these movies did?
No.
No.
It was the most insane thing ever is that Luke, that George Lucas, they didn't want to make it. And he's like, they didn't want to pay him a lot. He's like, fine, don't pay me anything. But I want like a huge chunk of all the toys and all the merch that comes after. And they were like, yeah, of course, fine. No one's made. Mm-hmm. And then Lucas made three movies that are built for toys. There's a new character in every frame.
Right.
Like every frame, there's a new vehicle or a new character. Mm-hmm. And you just see it's so obvious. He's just building and he's making billions off of the merch.
Because so the merch ever, the is toys where it's really at.
The toys went gangbuster. Like the Hasbro deal or whoever they made it with. It just went insane. And he printed fucking money off this for years.
That's nice.
And then just kept making more and more movies with more and more like it's like when Transformers and G.I. Joe and He-Man started selling toys as a kid, you started to notice it's like, get in our new He-Man motorcycle. Uh-huh. And it's like, why does He-Man have a motorcycle? And then the next thing you know, it's like, you could buy the He-Man motorcycle at toys. And you're like, oh, you motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. And it took hindsight to realize that. But Lucas had built such a huge specific world that they just had so many fucking toys. And imagine being a kid and seeing this movie, and then you can have the fucking
all of them. You can have the X-Wing. Whole set.
Yeah, it's fucking rules.
What is the name of that big elephant thing that stomped around very slowly towards
that
the
robot
rebels?
Thing?
Yeah,
that's in, like got crushed. And, like,
if it has four legs, it's an AT-AT walker. If it has two legs, it's an AT-ST.
Gotta
Thank
say,
you.
Pretty dumb. They moved so slowly.
Right.
I was like, we can't take these out faster. And then to take them out, we put a rope around their little legs and they fall down and go boom.
That was it.
You didn't like, I like that mechanic. It's really fun. It's like it's impenetrable armor. It's like we got to try to do something else.
Oh, it's impenetrable
armor.
They
were shooting it and that's why nothing was hurting it.
Oh, okay.
They're slow and steady. The little ones with two legs are sort of a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll see in the next movie too, the AT-ATs, the AT-ATs, if you will, come back with the AT-STs. And they get worked again in a different way. The Empire, for all the money and all the limitless cloned troops, whatever we want to call them, the stormtroopers, for the limitless amount of bad guys they have, their game plan is weak. Like they're constantly like, all right, let's slowly walk everyone in there.
Yes.
Oh, we lost the Millennium Falcon. All right, throw the garbage out.
Also, they lost them in the Millennium Falcon while it was on their ship.
Yes, it's insane.
I was like, come on.
I want to say really quickly, it was written by a woman and a man.
Oh.
So Lee Brackett and Lawrence Kasdan. And after the success of the original film, Lucas hired Lee Brackett to write the sequel before personally outlining the saga as a whole and finishing the film script himself. So he wrote a version and then like had her write it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to fact check that.
And then Larry Kasdan like kind of he wrote it with her or also got credit on it because he's kind of what they call the architect of Star Wars.
Oh, like, okay. Yeah. So he did a bunch of the
Because I think he did another one. I think he does Jedi as well.
I am really surprised that a woman wrote it.
I like that a woman wrote it. Also,
I feel like
you can kind of see, I feel like some touches.
Well, I liked it more.
Yes.
And I wonder if that has to do with it.
I mean, more
stuff happens in this movie.
And there's like emotional, seemingly more emotional characters and moments. Like even Yoda's whole little house and the whole conversation with him in there. I really liked that world that they were sitting in for a little bit. It felt different from, it just felt very different from the first movie.
This world you like.
By the way, I was blown away that's what his voice really is because everyone's been doing impressions forever. And I was like, everyone does bad impressions of Yoda.
But then it's like, Yoda's voice is wild.
My voice wild it is, yes.
That's a perfect impression.
It's perfect.
I'm
literally
perfect.
Spot on.
I really fucking liked Yoda. What a cool little dude.
He's so fucking cute.
He's adorable.
Before you realize he's the Jedi Master too, when he's just like, arguing with R2-D2 over the hot dog and shit.
Yeah.
Like, that shit is
it's truly funny.
It did make me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
And he was very hungry. He was, like, going through all
Well, he lives in a swampland.
Yeah.
Alone, too.
Right. I think he's the only living being on Dagobah.
There was more.
What happened to
the only living, like, humanoid.
What happened to the other Yodas?
Well, That's where the thing gets a little confusing, because they don't know, because Yoda is like 900 years old.
Oh, dang.
So they don't know if he's just like a shrunken old Jedi human or if he's like if he's a race. I'm assuming that's been retconned in some movie, because like Yoda fights in the prequels.
He fights?
Yeah, when you get to I think it's like episode 2. Yoda has a lightsaber and we see him fight.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
and he like flips
wait.
Around. It's really funny. It's insane. And it's like embarrassing. Because
I'm excited.
I do like that.
The prequels came out my junior year of high school. Episode 1, Phantom Menace, came out my junior year of high school. I cut school and waited in line outside the movie theater to get tickets. Went that night to see the movie and was so disappointed.
Aww.
But I was afraid, like, I couldn't admit to myself that I didn't like it. So I, like, justified it for, like, 4 days. I'm like, well, Darth Maul is cool. Then I went back wait to meet Darth Maul. He's actually the only cool part. And then
Is Darth Maul a sibling of Darth Vader?
Is he the one who looks like the devil?
Yes, he's the one with the red and black face.
Yeah.
Darth is like Darth Sidious, Darth Vader, Darth Maul.
Darth Sidious.
Darth is a title you get if you're of the evil Jedi
Darth
order.
Darth Sidious sounds like a black man's name. Come here, Darth Sidious.
Oh, it's one word. Yeah. Yeah. This is my son, Darth Sidious.
Yeah. I like it.
We'll be back with more Star Wars right after this short break.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Wait, I didn't realize that the scary man in this movie had a name. Palpatine?
Palpatine.
Palpatine?
The Emperor, if you will.
Oh, that's the Emperor.
Yeah, and that's what he runs, the Empire, which is the bad guys.
But
and they're striking
back.
We
didn't see him in the first one. So did he exist in the universe in the first one, or is he a new addition?
I think they reference him in the first one, and Vader doesn't speak to him in any way, like in a hologram or anything.
Oh, also, what's up with Darth Vader's fucking head? Why is it all
that nasty,
crusty,
gummy
and
brain?
Goopy? And then why does he sit in that egg all day?
Yeah, what's up with that?
All right, so that's Vader's like meditation chamber, quote unquote. Something happened to Darth Vader, to Anakin Skywalker.
Yes.
And which you'll see in episode 3, he's like burned alive.
Oh, shit.
And then
that's not nice.
And then the only way to keep him alive is to live inside the system that is.
Oh.
So the Darth Vader mask, the breathing, all that.
He can't look like anything. He can't be revealed.
Right.
Because we were wondering if he was going to be a white man in there, because
I heard he was a white man.
He is a white man.
But he doesn't show his face.
He does in the third one.
Oh,
see it.
I look forward to.
Yeah. It is a white dude in there voiced by like the most legendarily black voiced man.
Isn't that confusing?
Was that
originally?
In order for him to be Luke's father,
Gemmeling brought up a good point. We don't know if they're actually humans. They could be like a different race of something.
Right.
So the colors of your skin doesn't truly matter.
Right.
Well, technically humans are born on Earth, and if Luke is born on Tatooine, that doesn't make him a human. Like, right. It could be anything.
And he's a moisture farmer.
Yeah, a moisture farmer.
But was it originally...
Can you speak to protocol droids?
Was the guy playing Darth Vader in the suit originally supposed to be the voice as well?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to know about that.
I'll
if the
Google
voice
that.
Was added in post.
I feel like they had it. They knew they needed a cool, big, deep voice. Mm-hmm. Because
his voice does everything. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's amazing hearing J.E.J. do that. I think... I bet you they would have had James Earl Jones in this. But James Earl Jones is a big...
James Earl Jones.
Yeah, he's a big guy at that point. So he's...
Right.
They're like... not big in size, but like in fame.
No, but yeah.
It's like
he's going to
walk
around
in this
fucking
suit. He's like, put me in a booth after the fact.
So Lando Calrissian is charismatic and cool and like friends with
Hans. Can I pause you? Because I just found out something about that and it's kind of insane.
Ooh, tell us.
So on the set of Star Wars, David Prowse, who was in the costume.
Yes. Who's like a giant.
He was
man.
Worried that his lines were being muffled by Darth Vader's helmet. Not to worry, he was told the lines would be re-recorded, but what nobody told him, according to the actor, was that he wouldn't be the one doing the re-recording. So
That's fucked up.
Yes. Like, with a strong Devonshire accent that earned him the nickname Darth Farmer from the crew, the reality is that David Prowse was never going to be called upon to provide the voice of Darth Vader. Instead, Lucas went through tapes of some of the finest voices in Hollywood, including Orson Welles. He eventually arrived at James Earl Jones.
Ooh, good pick.
That is so mean to that guy,
though.
That is
really mean,
Wouldn't
but
that
honestly,
hurt you?
That's Hollywood, baby.
So he was standing there saying all that stuff, but it was like everyone couldn't really
memorized.
Hear.
He was in a trailer looking at signs.
But if he has a Devonshire accent, too, that's like sort of like almost Cockney. You know, like I'm not.
Yeah, that would be so weird. Ooh.
That's like non-city British accent.
That would be such a very different movie. Okay, so.
Oy,
I'm your fucking father.
Okay, what was your question you were going to ask?
About Lando Calrissian. So Lando and Hans, I call him Hans, even though I know it's not Hans Olo. But Hans, so they're friends from way back?
They're friends from way back.
So that's why he trusted him?
Yes, they're both sort of criminal smuggler guys, okay. So they trust each other to a certain degree because they're old friends.
Mm-hmm.
We will see their friendship blossom in the movie Solo. But it sucks.
Oh, that Despite comes way later.
The highlight of it is that Donald Glover is young Lando.
Mm,
and Donald's
that's pretty good casting.
Donald's the best part of the movie.
Uh-huh.
But that movie sucked balls.
Ugh.
Yeah. Sometimes a movie, when they try to do a prequel, mm-hmm. they go too hard so that, like, as improvisers, you know, like, the power of the connection is one thing, but it also still has to be good or funny.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In like these prequels, they're mm-hmm. like establishing things that we're supposed to give a shit about later on in life. Here, I'll spoil something from Solo that sucks.
Okay.
He's getting on a transport ship and they're like, what's your name? He's like, Han. And they were like, what's your last name? He's like, I don't have one. He's like, do you have any family? He's like, no, I'm all alone. He's like, Solo it is.
That is dumb.
And it's so dumb because no one cares how he got his last name.
Right. Anyone
and
has
why
a
would
last
he keep
name.
It? Why
Pretty
would he keep it
funny.
For yeah.
That's so
you're like,
funny.
Yeah, I like that.
I am Han Solo. I got no one. I guess I'm Solo.
Do the movies
Solo.
Make a ton even if they suck? Like,
yes.
So
at this point,
even like
all of them make
the
so
ones
much
that
money.
People don't, like the people like universally.
Well, I don't
hate.
I think it's hard to please Star Wars fans.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Episode 7. I liked Rogue One. I thought they were fine.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the same as these movies. They don't have the same heart. And I think a lot of it's like the digital effects. I don't give a shit about what race or gender any of my Jedis are. That's not what I'm here. I'm not here to see white people throw lightsabers around. That's not the appeal of the first movie. For me, it's the creatures and the lore and the world.
Yeah.
And so that is in some of the newer movies. So I can appreciate it, but it's not as strong.
C-3PO, he gets all discombobobulated. Wait, who are the people who
okay,
take
so yeah,
apart?
His legs were up in his face like he was eating his own ass.
Yeah,
he was definitely trying to S his own D for the
S his own D. And then I like that Chewbacca was carrying him around and trying to fix him.
That was cute.
Yeah.
And he put
yeah.
his head on backwards. That was funny.
Yes.
They had some funny little moments. Mm-hmm. There was some good comic relief. And how about when C-3PO interrupted that kiss between Leia and Han,
sure did.
And I was like, get the fuck
yeah,
out of
get
here.
Get out of here. We're trying to see these people fuck.
Yes.
They're so, those are two of the most attractive people on Earth
so
at the
hot.
Time.
Man, yeah. Harrison Ford. Ooh, wait.
Yeah,
dude,
he's
his
so
got
hot.
It.
Reet.
And I feel like I heard he was like George Lucas's like carpenter. And Lucas was like, this guy is fucking handsome.
Wow.
I think puts him in American Graffiti for like a small
wow.
part.
What?
I was like, maybe we should have this guy in Hans as Han Solo.
What did, who did?
Imagine that dude comes to your house and like your wife is like, you're a man and your wife's like, I ordered a contractor to come fix the house. And you see it's fucking
and
young
like,
Harrison
no,
Ford.
Crazy. No,
you're fired.
You gotta go.
No
you
hot
can't
nannies,
be here.
No hot contractors.
No, thank
get
you.
Him out of here.
Okay, wait. Here's what I looked up about that. He met George Lucas when he auditioned for American Graffiti and was cast in the film. After that, he continued to do carpentry and was hired to do some work for Francis Ford Coppola. While working for him, he crossed paths with Lucas again and was hired to read lines for Star Wars Edition.
Ooh.
So being the carpenter did help him
right.
get cast. That is crazy. Dang.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
So he had to still have a regular job after. That's kind of interesting.
After American Graffiti.
Yeah.
American Graffiti was a small movie, and I think his part was small.
Oh, I think it's so famous that I think of it
I think
it
it's more famous just because it's Lucas's first movie.
I see.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
Well, hopefully you'll get to it in one of your episodes of this show.
A quick detour to American Graffiti.
We're watching THX 1138, Lucas's student film.
I will say, Hans really comes on to Leah super hard. In a way where I was like, does she want it? I don't know how to feel. But then she did want it and it was okay.
She kind of teases it at Hoth that she's into him a little bit, right? Like as they're escaping, she's into Han.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems like she starts to become attracted to him.
Yeah. I think she's attracted to him in the first movie, but like he is a scumbag.
But my whole feeling is like, just fuck him. Like, there's nothing going on.
You're in space.
He's hot.
Who cares?
There's pretty much no consequences. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with it? Just have a relationship.
Well, that's where you're harshly reminded that it is a children's movie in the end, right? Like when you're watching this, despite all the dark images of like your dad is evil now, you get your arm cut off, your friend is frozen. Despite all that, it is a children's movie. It does have blinking fucking robots that are like deep, deep, deep talking
to
each other.
But don't you think the fans don't think that?
That's what I find crazy. Oh, also, I get so much shit for this all the time when I'm like, well, Marvel movies are fucking children's movies. I like them.
Yeah.
But they're movies for kids.
Right.
And people are like, they're fucking cinema. And I'm like, all right, fine. Yes, older people can watch them. But they're fucking kids movies. Yeah. They're PG-13. They're absolutely sexless. Robert Downey Jr. is like 58 and he's Iron Man. He's having a kid in the last movie. It's like, what the fuck is this?
That is weird when you say it like that.
Reminded me so much of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy was clearly inspired by this.
Yes.
Because they made it, they call Star Wars a space opera. Like, that's what they refer to it as.
I read that today and I was like, what? Yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Because it's just like an epic tale told in three parts of the trilogy. And it's like an opera in that there's a evil leader or a rebellion. It's got like, it's like this huge sweeping epic.
But there's no singing. And when they call Carmen a hip hop truck, there's hip hop in there.
Fair enough. They call it a hip hopetra. They put a T in there.
Well, I fucked it up. The one with Beyonce, a hip hopra.
A hip hopra.
A hip hopra. Luke hears Ben/Obi-Wan a bunch.
Yeah. That's like a running thing in the second and third movie is that Jedi's, they can like appear as force apparitions, as it's called.
Because he didn't die. He became part of the force.
Yeah.
Right?
That's how Jedi. When you're a certain level of Jedi, that's how you die. Like, you die, but you're
like
physical.
Ascend.
You leave your physical form and you become,
So when Darth Vader in the first one stepped on his robes, he wasn't checking to see if he was dead. He was checking to see if he became part of the Force?
That's a great question. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he was like, where'd he go?
He was like,
I hope that's how I die. I hope one day I get hit by a car and then just I disappear in my clothes. Just a pair of fucking short shorts and a Hawaiian shirt are laying there.
So when the whole thing happened with Darth Vader and he's like about to, he's hanging there with one arm, Luke, and he... It seems like his only option is to join the dark side or to die.
Mm-hmm.
But then he basically commits suicide is what you think is happening.
Right.
Yes.
But then he just lands on a slide and he's fine.
And then lands on a second slide.
Yeah. I didn't, like, did he know, do you think he knew that he would be okay? Like, or is that one of those things where it was like, that was lucky?
So there's a lot you can unpack there because it is lucky. Maybe he knew about it, but then Star Wars gets this, and Luke especially, gets a little bit of like a graded on a curve because the Force is not fully explained exactly what.
Right. So maybe it's because he has the power of the Force.
He has the Force, so, you know, luck maybe goes in your side. Like, I think it might be in the third one or it's in the first one where, like, for luck, when they swing across, I forget. Like, there's a lot of things that happen to our main characters that are lucky, which is always classic storytelling. Like, your hero gets luck.
Right.
But the Force is like a mystical power of good. So maybe it keeps Luke alive longer than it should. And the Millennium Falcon's able to get there to rescue him or whatever.
I thought it was fully him using the Force. I thought he was like, my daddy's evil. Daddy's in front of me. I don't want to join daddy. Oh, the Force is telling me to that there's slides. Because then he actually uses the Force and you see him tell Leia that he's hanging there so she can come back to get him.
Well, and then there's like the element, the elements of like Luke and Vader know where each other are at times and stuff like that. So I think you're right. And like when we see Luke training, he's like running and doing somersaults and stuff,
right?
Which is not something he showed the ability to do ever. And like that's just something I feel like the force juices you up a little bit and help you in the
force juices.
I can understand why people get really obsessed with that idea, like fans of the movie, because it is a very powerful sort of hopeful thing, like that you have this energy that can help you through something.
Well, it's like the same thing that, you know, it's the fantasy elements of Marvel movies where you're like, yeah, I'm a normal fat dude, but what if I was just bit by a spider and then and then you see that in something like the Bourne movies. There are all these like fantasies of just like lazy people who become superheroes. Well, it's like, it's not like Luke dedicated 24 years to training in martial arts.
No, he didn't want to go to school or something.
Right, he truly was with Yoda for maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah, and well, I do like, and this might be a special edition thing because I don't remember it as much, but like, they're really hesitant to let Luke leave. Like, they're like, no. You need to do a little more training.
You gotta stay here. And Luke's like, no, I'll be fine.
24 more credits you need.
But I like that Yoda was like, you're gonna fuck this up.
Right.
And you can't go. You've only been here, because I feel like everything in this movie happens in real time. Because in the first movie, I'll talk about this to the day I die, they say, you have a half hour to get to the front or whatever. And then it took a literal half hour.
We were so mad.
I couldn't believe it.
We were like, how long is this going on? And then it was like, oh, they said it would take 30 minutes.
30 minutes, and that's what it did.
By the way, this won the best sound and visual effects at the Oscars.
I buy that. It was pretty cool.
I thought the visual effects were really great in this one.
They hold up now. This movie's 40 years old.
Damn. I really do feel like a lot of the reasons why I don't get on board with a lot of movies like this nowadays is that I don't really care about like CGI effects.
It doesn't
make me feel like it's real. Yeah. I like how these are kind of not janky, but like more practical feeling. Like they feel like they were figuring it out and it looks almost like it could really be happening.
Right. And also even the jankiness is like under the guise of you, it doesn't take you out of the fact that you're watching a movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you're still watching a movie, but I watch Guardians of the Galaxy and I have a hard time. Like the background doesn't matter to me. There's no depth and it feels like you can see that it's five people with fucking like markers on their head talking
and there was
in a green room.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's like in the Neverending Story, the Luck Dragon looks fucking insane.
Right.
Like an insane puppet, but I like it.
I like it too.
Puppets are the best. Cool.
It feels like it could be a real thing. Yeah. I mean, it's same is true for like the original Jurassic Park where those dinosaurs that are like those practical, it feels like that's the real dinosaur.
Yeah.
Because we've never seen a real dinosaur. Mm-hmm. So I could believe that that's what that is. And same with this, we're like, these are fake creatures, so yeah, it looks like that, and it moves like that. It's kind of stiff.
Right, like, imagine if the droid was animated, like, digitally, instead of, like,
it would
a C-3PO.
Yeah,
it would be a real bummer.
And it would hold up way less.
So in the newer ones, do they keep a lot of that, like, the practical stuff, or do they start to become really CGI?
The prequels go, like, all CGI, and that was part of what made them so awful.
Oh, yeah.
Because Lucas is a special effects guy, and he gets in his own way because he loves computers and he loves, you know, he's just like shooting pod racing, which you'll learn about in Phantom Menace.
Pod racing?
Yeah, it's like a sport that young Anakin competes in. But there's so much business going on, so much shit. And it looks cool, but it looks like a fucking video game cutscene. You know, it doesn't feel the same.
Yeah, and CGI doesn't hold up because we're constantly evolving to like what's new.
Right.
Like cutting to Luke and Dak inside their snow speeder when they're trying to take down.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and it's like there's sparks and they're inside. It's like, it looks dumb in a good way. Like it looks like, oh, help me, you know, like, and the guy's blowing up and shit. Like that shit, cutting to the inside of the cockpit is so real and so fun.
Yeah.
And rather than like a wide shot of them CGI'd in a cockpit or whatever, you know, what they're limited by helps the movie feel richer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. What's your favorite part? What's your favorite scene in this movie?
Ooh, in this movie, when I was a kid, my favorite scene in this movie is when Darth is hiring bounty hunters to hunt Han Solo and Skywalker, and we get to meet like the five weird guys that they have there. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was just the coolest thing, especially then when Tales of the Bounty Hunters, the book, came out, and you learned all of those characters' names and their specifics. Like, the big robot is IG-88.
Oh. So you didn't know. Like, you're watching it, and you're like, I like that part. And then you basically get more backstory and research from these other things.
Or, like, eventually you'll get collectible cards, or you'll hear that this guy's Bosk, and he's a Trandoshan. Yeah. I know way too much.
It's incredible how much you remember. I know you were, like, filled with knowledge, but, like, just the sheer amount of details you remember is incredible.
Yeah. It's because it really was like, I would say at minimum a decade, maybe 15 to 16 years, yeah. like a huge part of my life, like liking Star Wars, mm-hmm. watching Star Wars. I like identified as a Star Wars fan. You know what I mean? Like,
did you mm-hmm. ever dress up as a character for Halloween or for a fun time alone in your room?
Here's the thing. I always wanted a Jedi outfit. Specifically, I really wanted the orange helmet. I think
we like that with the yellow glasses.
Yeah, we that's like our that. Favorite one. We want some yellow glasses.
That's the look I want. It's like the yellow. I also think the snow goggles and snow outfit that they
Leia's
wear
like
looks cool.
Yes. Puffy vest and very boots. Like, cute. That was cute.
Leia is so fucking hot. Like, all her outfits in this movie are awesome. It's literally
so cute.
And then also now think about it from the toys perspective.
Yeah.
Now you can buy
Snow
Princess Leia in snow gear. Now you can buy Princess Leia
in her little robe. Yeah, that's
you got her in a robe. Now there's four Leias. There's six Lukes you can buy. You know what I mean?
It's actually very pathetic how much I want merchandise from this film. By the way, they filmed it in Norway and outside of London, which I think is kind of cool. I was picturing all of this happening in America, so I think
same.
It's
and then the first movie was shot in Africa.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yes. There's the famous studios in London, which the name is escaping me.
Elstree Studios.
Is that it?
Elstree, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it was something else. They shoot a lot of stuff in the studio there. But the first one is in Morocco mm-hmm. or something like that. And this one,
cool.
It's fucking cool.
And the sets are really amazing. I mean, there's one point where, I can't remember what exact part it was, but certain things were opening up and showing the depth of the place that they were in. And it seemed like it was all real, like built all up like yeah. that. It wasn't like green screen.
If it's anything, it's rear projection at the time. So there's just a big screen back there that's playing that.
Yeah. Wow. So it looks cool.
It looks cool as hell, right?
And I thought about all the people making it and I was just very impressed, like thinking about all the work that went into every little detail.
Just like when he's like climbing in the X-Wing or they're on the outside of the Millennium Falcon, like someone built that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that's so fucking cool.
And I was thinking about the actors, like, being in that set and how you could really get swept away by the world because it feels so real around you.
Yes, and then imagine you are Chris Pratt and Zoe Saldana and you're in a neon green room with fucking balls on your head.
Yeah, makes it even harder to act.
Yeah.
100%.
Right,
yeah.
Maybe that's why some of those performances are so stilted when there's a lot of CGI.
Right.
And you want to know what else? Because no one cares about the actors in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't about how good the acting is. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's about the story. It's about introducing a character. It's about seeing something crazy. No one's
Well, and that's why we're appreciating these actors so much in mm-hmm. these movies. We're like, the acting's really good.
It's so good. Like, but yeah, it's like, that was kind of the point. Because you were on this set with everything.
Yeah. And I mean, it wasn't like Leia was cast because she is... hot YouTube series or whatever. Yeah. It's not like, we got to get...
I thought you were saying she had a hot UTI.
That's what I thought you were saying.
She had a hot UTI. Ooh, it's sizzling.
Give this bitch some cranberry juice.
But no, like, so many things now are cast from things like that, where it's like she has a million followers, and you're like, well, she fucking sucks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we got a pop record. I always like to joke that, like, one of the best characters in the Marvel Universe is played by a wrestler, like the Batista character in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Great.
He's, like, the funniest one. He's in a movie with Chris Pratt, who's arguably a comedy actor, and fucking he's not as funny as the wrestler who doesn't understand sarcasm.
Dude.
I can get on my high horse about practical effects for special effects any day of the week. I'm ready to fucking
I like them. Practical. Yeah. I'm a huge fan
of
it.
It's so fun just to see it. Yeah. Like, even like the big worm, you know, when they get, when they're hiding in the
ass. That was crazy. Yeah. I love that. It kind of reminds me of like Beetlejuice.
Yes. Yeah. Like the space worm from Beetlejuice.
What is your favorite of the series? Is this your favorite or?
You said the next one.
The next one. Return of the Jedi is my favorite. And I think classically, most people like this one because
it is
the darkest. Because
it was reviewed pretty, people liked it and they hated it. It was very mixed reviews.
I believe that because it is, if you liked A New Hope, the first Star Wars movie, you're like, oh, this is a fun, silly romp. This movie is darker for sure than the last one. You learn that the dad is evil, this, that.
There was just more stakes.
And there's more stakes because.
That's why I liked it.
It was nice. Yeah.
It's a better story and it's a more fully realized, standalone story, contained in this movie. Mm-hmm. And I think Return of the Jedi, which is my favorite, I think will also be your guy's favorite.
Okay.
But I don't want to, for a little behind the scenes, I was going to do our Return of the Jedi episode, but now due to scheduling, we're doing Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi is right like, if what you like about this movie is that it's a little cuter,
mm-hmm.
Return of the Jedi is the cutest, into the point where me saying I like Return of the Jedi the best puts me in, like, a bad light from Star Wars heads.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I can't wait to see it, because all the things I think I know about the series have happened.
Right, right.
I don't know what an Ewok that is. What I won't look it up.
No.
Don't.
I don't know any surprise. Things are happening so quickly.
Yes.
The things that I've thought were kind of spread over all of the films are, like, being knocked out pretty fast.
That's really funny you say that. We talk about this a little bit on Raised by TV, where it's like, you watch an episode of Seinfeld and you're like, oh, these three jokes that I know are all in this one episode?
Yeah,
and you're like, holy shit, this show is dense. Like, and that's Star Wars, because when the third movie comes, you're going to be like, oh, that's what this is from? Oh, that's what this is from? Like,
right.
Now I get this. It's one of those, you're in the weird space too, where you watch something that was such a huge pop culture like thing that's been parodied and referenced a million times and never watching the original. That it must be wild to be like, oh, that's what that's from?
It is weird.
I was waiting for Luke to scream, no, after I'm not your father, because that's what happens in Toy Story.
Yeah.
It's like the third time I've referenced Toy Story. But that's what I know that scene from.
Yeah.
Someone's like, oh, that's from Star Wars. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, there are these little moments where you're like expecting something, but that's why it was kind of funny when like the line is different than what I thought, or like, I don't know, or even Yoda's voice being accurate to how people do impressions of it. I was like, oh, okay. Like, there were certain things I had made up in my head to be true or not true about these movies. And so now we're learning a lot. But I mean, I was very relieved that I enjoyed parts of this one and that I even laughed out loud. I had big reactions actually at home where I was like, what? No, that guy, you know, I was like feeling I was into it. So I am looking forward to the next one.
I'm also looking forward to it. I gotta say, though, I think with every movie, I'm gonna hate the first 20 minutes.
I think so, too. They do a lot of preamble that feel like you don't need. Yeah.
I like, in this movie, Darth Vader kills a lot of people from his own army, like, but can't fight Luke, can't beat Luke.
Just strangling people, he's just looking over, and they're like, okay, well, I'll do better.
I like the one dude in this who's like, I'll go tell Vader.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah, go for it, man. We know what that means.
So do people know that his head looks like a chewed up piece of gum?
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people know.
Because I feel like he's putting his helmet on when some guy was talking to him.
His like, he sort of has like the RoboCop head where he has like a face on top and in the back it's like open and shit.
Is it going to be nasty?
You don't see it that much.
Okay, good.
Well, there's nothing really played for gore in this.
Right.
Like, even the gore is like cartoony. Like when they cut open the Tauntaun. And he's like,
oh, yeah,
this thing smells even worse on the inside.
Little guts, the like crystal guts.
I know, they're kind of cool looking.
Yeah,
and it was
like
that's like fucking, what's the
wait, so
three
he
dog
cut him open and put Luke inside?
Yeah, like Call of the Wild, famously.
I can't get inside somebody.
Oh, yes, you can. Well, yeah, maybe not anybody, but me, I think you could squeeze inside me.
Big boy to get inside him.
Can someone draw
I want you
that?
To wear me like a suit.
I would do it. If it was in your will, I would do it.
At my funeral, Nicole Byer will wear my skin as a suit.
Your family's like, what is she doing? I pull you out of the coffin.
I literally want you fan art of this if somebody can draw.
Yes, please draw me wearing Gabrus as a suit.
That's and send it to me. DMs, please. Hyper specific kink.
Oh, also, I thought it was funny that they could never get the light speed to work on the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
It happened twice. Rule of three, it worked on the third time. I like that. That was fun.
It's such a fun, simple little thing that it's like, it does, the Millennium Falcon, the fact that it doesn't always work adds like this layer to Han where he's like, well, what do you want from me? You know what I mean? Like, it gives him that like, ne'er-do-well slacker energy that
Here's
everyone
a question.
Loves about him.
So Boba Fett has frozen Hans. So then Lando, I refuse to call him Han. That's
I'm
a
happy
dumb
about
name.
It. I'm
I
happy
like
about
Hans.
It.
So then Fair. Lando is driving the Millennium Falcon to go. Is he going to go save? Or they're just, it's ambiguous as to what's going to happen.
It's ambiguous as to what's going to happen. But you're assuming Lando, the Vader misrepresented him. He didn't realize all this bad shit was going to happen.
And then that wasn't his house everybody was at? Like that nice place where Darth ends up to take?
That is, I don't know if that's Lando's house, but that is where he lives. Yeah, he lives in the Cloud City there. Yeah,
that's a nice penthouse in the Cloud City.
Oh, he's got,
I liked it.
He's got capes and shit. Like he's running shit. Yeah.
Yeah. He seemed very of the moment.
Yeah, he seemed very early
1980s. Yeah. So, okay, then he gets his hand chopped off, then he gets a new hand, which I was like, convenient that the hand looks just like his old hand.
And I love when they like they show it with the robot thing. You're like, oh, that looks cool. And then the next shot, they just show him like,
yep, it's a hand.
Yeah,
I'm back to normal. I also loved how they hid his hand being gone because it was just the sleeve pulled up.
He was holding it.
Yeah, like just the
when
around.
He was like.
Practical,
falling.
Baby.
I know. It was like I could tell that he was pulling his sleeve like taut so that his arm could be inside it. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
It's, yeah, rather than like a fucking brushing it out in post. Yeah, like that just
I
looks
was,
so
I
much
was happy
cooler.
That
yeah,
it was
yeah.
just being hidden. So and then he adjusted so quickly to have
oh,
one
he's
hand.
He's fine with just one. Just no
around.
Tears.
No.
How does the movie end exactly? Let's go walk through the ending so we can get ready for what we're going to watch next. So he gets his new hand. Then they go where? I can't remember what happened right after that.
Well, he's parting ways from Leia and them, right? For Leia and Lando walk out of the hospital room where the.
Yes.
I love that there's like, of all the jobs to give droids, one of them is surgery on your arm. And it's like, they never show him do it because clearly the articulation was not there. It would be like, like just stabbing needles into your arm.
But
and
it was
shit.
A different droid, right? Who did
it
the
was,
surgery?
Yeah, it was a medical droid.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so Lando and Chewbacca, they're just on a mission in the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, they're going to do something.
And then Leia and Luke stay? Where do they go?
I think if I had to do the work for it, I'm trying to remember exactly how it ends, but if I had to do the work for it knowing how the first one begins, they're figuring out how they're going to get Han.
Yes, okay. So,
cuz the opening of 3 is I'm hyped for you guys to see that.
Okay,
it's very cool.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Or opening for 6.
Is this the end where Luke has a vision? No, that might be.
Well, no, Luke does have a vision of Obi-Wan, Ben, and then he sees Vader. Because Vader was like, come. And he's like, no.
Yeah.
No, Daddy. Daddy, no.
It's so funny. Like, it's interesting how they play the evil power of the Force, where it's like, they lure you over where it's strong, and it's not until you master it that you can. It's like addiction or whatever, or like drugs. It's like, no, learn how to take them before you get hooked. And, and be like, yes, I fucking love heroin. Let me do it all the time. No, just take a little hit, nod off, chill for a little while.
Don't teach people how to do heroin.
All right. That's my 20 episode podcast. Newcomers, we're doing opioids.
We're doing opioids.
It's terrible. That's not funny. Stay off that shit.
Terrifying. It's bad.
Very bad and horrible. No one should ever do that. All right. Well, I'm excited to watch the next one. We have to launch right into it after we leave here, basically.
Yep. These are the longest movies in American history.
They're so long. They
that
feel
is,
very long.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. That is not true. But they are not short movies.
Long.
They feel long.
I don't think they're intended to be watched 3 days in a row, by the way.
I know. Well, but that's kind of good for me, I think, because I'm like, I got to get in
retention.
This world and crank it out. Can you tell us what you're working on right now? We're going to plug.
Yeah, we can obviously
listen to Raised by TV, our podcast that is some of it's out of the paywall and some is behind the paywall.
Right.
Stitcher.
And if you're cool with the paywall, I have a new podcast, The Gino Lombardo Show, that's behind. It's on Stitcher Premium as well. And that's sort of like a scripted in quotes, a podcast where Gino hosts his own Drive Time radio show.
This is the character you do from Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah, this
Bang
is
Bang?
The character, the yeah, only yeah. character I can do.
Yeah.
And character, of course, is also in quotes.
It's essentially you.
Yeah, it's essentially me, but more charged up, a little more racist, a little more everything. I've got 10 episodes, great guests. We're talking... I think I've recorded like 50 commercial parodies for it because it's like a real radio
that's
show.
That's awesome.
So
that's great.
Check that out. And then if we're talking staying in the HeadGum fam, check out High and Mighty.
Yeah,
hell
you
yeah.
gotta listen to that.
Both of these broads have been guests numerous times. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yes.
Fuck
and
yeah.
And what's your Twitter and Instagram?
Yeah.
I'm at Gabrus on all social media, GABRUS.
Easy.
Tweet at me all the stupid mistakes I've made talking about Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. We can't wait for the
feed.
Oh,
yeah. I can't wait. People are going to rip us apart. They're going to be like, you came into it not wanting to see it. And you're right.
Yeah.
That's so funny when people are like, it's not for you and you didn't like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
You can follow us at Lauren Lapkus and at Nicole Byer. Mm-hmm. And please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and
rate
and review, especially if you like it.
Yes.
And I do want to beg you to, if you're one of those people who wants to hate on us or whatever, think about the fact that we are trying to, we actually found a lot of things we liked about this one.
Yes, we did.
I actually feel pretty optimistic right now.
I said this the last episode. I was excited to watch this one. Then that first 15 minutes took me out. But then I got excited again midway through because I was like, oh, this is fun. So I'm excited to see the next one.
I may watch Return of the Jedi just because Empire Strikes Back juiced me up so much.
That's fine.
I would say if anyone out there is like mad at Lauren and Nicole for not liking it, look at yourself and think about why you give a shit if these two strangers to you care about a movie that you like that came out 40 years ago.
I do love that we have not released this, but we are preemptively just putting out warnings because I know they're out there.
There will be a ton of people who will be so angry that I call Hans instead of Han.
Yeah.
To me, it flows better.
We have fun. We're having fun.
There's going to be a lot of people who are going to not see the comedy in this at all and see mostly two women telling them they're losers. No matter what you actually say, they're going to be like, I'm going to give it a chance.
I actually feel like I already understand Star Wars fans a lot more from this experience. Just even hearing you and Gemberling talking about it, I'm getting more of an appreciation. I'm actually already I could see myself owning some merch. I could see myself getting into this or just accepting it more. So,
well, yeah, when you think about it as a children's movie, if you didn't watch it as a child, it's not as burned into your...
Right. Yes.
Like Neverending Story or Dark Crystal, those are weird movies to watch now.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy them. I think they hold up wonderful. But if you were to watch them cold,
seen the end of Labyrinth, and that's crazy. It's a bunch of little Fraggle Rock puppets jamming with a young, what's her name?
Oh, not David Bowie.
Jennifer Connelly.
Yes. And that was insane. I was like, I don't know if I could see this whole movie.
I've never seen that whole movie. I've only seen parts of it.
It's nuts.
But the movie doesn't even make sense.
Oh, really?
If you watch all of Labyrinth, you're like, what's the plot of this?
It's great. I like all these puppet movies.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
I'm a huge fan of Henson. Frank Oz kills it.
He's awesome. Yeah.
The practical effects are awesome. Fucking. Okay.
I like Yoda's house.
We love Yoda's house.
Yoda's
I love
house
the Dagobah
is great.
System.
I like that I finally saw the I Am Your Father moment.
Yes.
I know it.
Honestly, it holds up. It's pretty dramatic.
It is.
The way Luke's face changes, I was like, oh yeah, I buy that you're upset about this.
His emotional reactions in this movie were much bigger.
Yes.
I was happy with
he
that.
He matured in between the first and second movie, both as an actor, as a man, and as a character, I feel like. And he's much better in Empire than he is in A New Hope.
Yes.
In A New Hope, he is annoying. He's like,
I'm
ready to fight.
I guess I'll go be a Jedi. I don't have any guardians.
Right.
And he's always playing with toys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in this, he's like a little bit more of a man, a little bit more of a badass. Kisses his sister, passage for
that's
everyone.
Hot. Hell yeah.
Fucking
that's
hot.
You know you're a man when you kiss that sis.
It better be a stepsister, then it can be on Pornhub.
Yeah, maybe they're just half. And that's not even.
Yeah, maybe
it's
they're
okay.
Just halfsies.
There's no blood.
Do they have different momsies?
No blood, no foul. No, I believe they have the same mom.
All right.
Do we get to meet the mom?
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
There's no other women ever.
Yeah, there's very few women in these films.
All right. Well, I can't wait. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank
you. Do you have
so
something
much.
Else you wanted to add?
Yeah. Did you guys think it was cute anytime people talk to R2-D2, putting the words in his mouth? I thought that was a fun mechanic when I was a kid. Oh, well, I don't know where the you think reacting to just whistles. I thought was such a funny sort of device.
I got upset because he was so dirty after he was in the water after meeting Yoda. And I was like, can someone please
give him a bath.
Towel him off.
That moment when he shoots out of the X-Wing and they're like, where's R2? And he shoots out and he's my friend JP, I'm going to shout him out growing up. He could do that Wahoo sound so good that we would go to his house and me and my other friends would be like, JP, do Wahoo.
Was that different than the part where he touches up basically a fork to an outlet and flies backwards.
There's good gags in this.
I laughed.
I'm glad I used this moment after the plugs and after saying goodbye to shout out R2-D2. I'm like, I feel like I need to talk about more. Let me get the fuck out of here.
Do you want to say anything else?
No, I've said my piece.
Are you sure?
Thank you. Have me back for 10 more episodes.
Okay.
I mean... we could have you back.
We'll play a card game with you.
Yes.
Yeah, let's play a card game.
Oh my God.
Yeah, let's do an episode about them cards.
We got to look into that.
That'll be a real niche.
It'll be a real nightmare.
Oh my God.
Trying to teach you two anything.
Oh, yeah. I retain nothing. I'll be like,
what's a
card?
The rules will be lost instantly. Oh, what a mess. Well, thank you so much. This was
a
blast.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.